prophets can do miracles, particularly the pre-classical prophet. Is the bald head a shaven head a sign of prophecy? It could be. It might also be that Elisha was simply bald. In terms of pre-classical prophets in their formal means, kings hired prophets. Indeed, they hired bands of prophets. So the office of court prophet became quite popular. That's Nathan's job, for example. But eventually, the court prophet would separate from the band and give the king oracles that the king did not want to hear. Epitomizing this is a court prophet from the court of King Ahab, Jezebel's husband. His name is Micaiah ben Imlah. And at one point, King Ahab complains about him so much, he says, I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but only evil, right? If the prophet says bad things are going to happen to the king, that's probably a legitimate prophet. And thus we come to Elijah. Elijah, epitomizing the pre-classical prophet, is cast in the role of Moses. For example, Moses has a theophany, a revelation of God on Mount Sinai. Elijah has a revelation of God on Mount Horeb, the east source's name for Sinai. Elijah performs a sacrifice on Mount Carmel. The entire altar is consumed with fire. The people see this miracle and they bow down and worship God. Moses does exactly the same thing in Leviticus. He offers a sacrifice, thereby consecrates his altar. The fire consumes the offering, and the people bow down. And in the Hebrew, you can see the words being repeated. Like Moses, Elijah has no tomb. Moses, as you know, is buried in secret. For Elijah, a chariot comes down from heaven, a fiery chariot, and takes him back up. And that produces the legends that Elijah will at some point come back. And in our discussion of canon very early in the series, we saw how the Christian canon puts the prophet Malachi at the end, predicting the coming of Elijah. So in terms of Elijah himself, what does he do? What is his role? His task is not easy. He goes up primarily against the king of the north, King Ahab, and his wife Jezebel. Jezebel, you probably think of as someone who's like a prostitute, or at least a woman whose morals are suspect. Actually, Jezebel does have her problems. She lies, she steals, she cheats, she engages in libel, she apostatizes, she murders. But she's actually quite faithful to her husband, Ahab. I mean, the one thing she doesn't do is engage in some sort of sexual crime. The reason she gets this reputation is because right before her death, we find in 2 Kings chapter 9, she painted her eyes and adorned her hair, and she stood looking down from the window. This is a woman who knows enough to put on makeup right before she dies. I give her credit for that. Elijah is not only dealing with Ahab's political crimes, he's also dealing with Jezebel's sponsorship of her own gods. Jezebel is from Sidon. She worships one of the Baals. So Elijah has to explain to the people, Baal worship is evil, it's apostatizing, you should only worship the one God. But for the people to whom Elijah is giving these oracles, this did not make much sense. They could not much more conceive of agriculture without Baal as they could conceive of agriculture without rain. Because they're living in a Canaanite environment, and Baal is the nature god. So Elijah has to explain why Baal is simply a false god. He is thereby depicted as contrasting the powers of Yahweh and Baal. In his contest with the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, he has the priests on Mount Carmel set up one sacrifice. He sets up another. And he says to the priests on Mount Carmel, have your god Baal send fire down and consume the sacrifice. And then you can picture him just kind of sitting there, tapping his foot, flipping his fingers and waiting. And he begins about noontime to taunt the priests of Baal. He says, you know, where is your god? Is he on a journey? Is he meditating? Has he gone aside? And gone aside in Hebrew means, has he gone to the bathroom? Perhaps he's asleep and you have to wake him up. This is taunting the Baal worshippers. And ultimately what we see with Elijah is that his God finally sends down fire from heaven and consumes that sacrifice. Throughout the rest of Elijah's career, he will not only combat Baal worship, he will also establish the model by which future prophets, both pre-classical and classical, find their voice and establish the means by which they can convince the covenant community that their voice is the one that needs to be heeded.